Critique of the Gotha Program by Karl Marx. Section. Part 2. Quote, starting from these basic principles, the German Workers' Party strives by all legal means for the free state and socialist society. That abolition of the wage system altogether with the iron law of wages, and exploitation in every form, the elimination of all social and political inequality. End quote. I shall return to the, quote, free state later. So, in the future, the German Workers' Party has got to believe in LaSalle's iron law of wages. That this may not be lost, the nonsense is perpetrated of speaking of the, quote, abolition of the wage system. It should read, system of wage labor, quote, together with the iron law of wages. If I abolish wage labor, then naturally I abolish its laws also, whether they are of iron or sponge. But LaSalle's attack on wage labor turns almost solely on this so-called law. In order, therefore, to prove that LaSalle's sect has conquered, the wage system must be abolished together with the iron law of wages, and not without it. It is well known that nothing of the iron law of wages, except LaSalle's, is LaSalle's, except the word iron, borrowed from Goethe's great eternal iron laws. The word iron is a label by which the true believers recognize one another. But if I take the law with LaSalle's stamp on it, and consequently in his sense, then I must also take it with his substantiation for it. And what is that? As Lange also showed, shortly after LaSalle's death, it is the Malthusian theory of population, preached by Lange himself. But if this theory is correct, then again I cannot abolish the law even if I abolish wage labor 100 times over. Because the law then governs not only the system of wage labor, but every social system. Basing themselves directly on this, the economists have been proving for 50 years and more that socialism cannot abolish poverty, which has its basis in nature, but can only make it general, distribute it simultaneously over the whole surface of society. But all this is not the main thing. Quite apart from the false LaSallian formulation of the law, the truly outrageous retrogression consists in the following. Since LaSalle's death, there has asserted itself in our party the scientific understanding that wages are not what they appear to be, namely the value or price of labor, but only a massed form for the value or price of labor power. Thereby, the whole bourgeois conception of wages hitherto, as well as all the criticism hitherto directed against this conception, was thrown overboard once and for all. It was made clear that the wage worker has permission to work for his own subsistence, that is, to live, only insofar as he works for a certain time gratis for the capitalist, and hence also for the latter's co-consumers of surplus value. That the whole capitalist system of production turns on the increase of this gratis labor by extending the working day, or by developing the productivity, that is, increasing the intensity or labor power, etc. That, consequently, the system of wage labor is a system of slavery, and indeed of a slavery which becomes more severe in proportion as the social productive forces of labor develop, whether the worker receives better or worse payment. And after this understanding has gained more and more ground in our party, some return to LaSalle's dogma, although they must have known that LaSalle did not know that what wages were. But following in the wake of the bourgeois economists, took the appearance for the essence of the matter. It is as if among slaves who have got at last got behind the secret of slavery and broken out in rebellion, a slave still in thrall to obsolete notions were to inscribe on the program of the rebellion, slavery must be abolished because the feeding of the slaves in the system of slavery cannot exceed a certain low maximum. Does not the mere fact that the representatives of our party were capable of perpetrating such a monstrous attack on the understanding that has spread among the mass of our party prove, by itself, with what criminal levity and with what lack of conscience they set to work in drawing up this compromise program? Instead of the indefinite concluding phrase of the paragraph, quote, "the elimination of all social and political inequality," it ought to have been said that with the abolition of class distinctions, all social and political inequality arising from them would disappear of itself. End of part 2.